Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about MLS land listings, the pros and cons. I can honestly say, I don't think I've ever listed a piece of land in the MLS.
Yes, we have.
Back in the day, I never did.
Back in the day, but we have recently.
You and I have?
Yeah, yeah. We had a 40 in, shucks, which one was that? Because we were playing around with that.
That's sold
to see
really
if it
fast.
Worked. That's my point here.
Oh.
That's why we're talking about this today.
Get to know what goes on in your own company,
you
Steve.
You like this?
Especially have a radio show about it. Jeez.
Man, I want to do some homework. I'm just kidding. Get to know your own company. This is good.
I'm the last one to know anything around
yeah.
here.
Yeah, we do this, Stephen, and it works quite well. I'll fill
take
you in.
It. All right.
I'll tell you all about it in a minute here.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free, and as you're listening, please drop us your questions into the comments section below, especially on YouTube.
Classic. Joe Smith asks, I think there are a fair number of sellers out there who would gladly sell their property for a low price or just give the property to you for a promise of future cash flow. Some of them lack the sophistication or time to set up a terms deal. For whatever reason, it would just be easier for them to let someone else do it. Does anyone ever work with sellers to sell or resell their property on terms, service the debt, and split the proceeds with the seller? If so, what did the contract look like? What kind of split did you do? Who held the deed? I know a funny one.
Go ahead.
I know that Luke has done this before. He has sold, Luke Smith in our community, has sold property. And then the people have said, hey, I think it's worth even more. Will you mark it up more and help me resell it? And Luke said, sure, fine. He already got all cashed
sold
out.
Three times.
Got it. And he posted back up at a higher number. And now it's on their dime. And I think he charges them for it, by the way, he does. And then they split whatever profit of that sale, however long it takes. He doesn't care. I'm like, that's hilarious. That's the only one I can think of that does that. But it's not a bad idea. You know, do it for somebody else once you figure it out. Sure.
So walk me through it.
Walk me through the couple different...
The Luke Smith model? Yeah.
So I buy a property for $1,000. Just going to play around. I sell it for $3,000. I'm happy I'm out. The guy who bought it for $3,000 because it's still a good price.
That's not what they're talking about here.
Now it's worth for whatever.
I understand.
So he's done that kind of a reselling.
That's a great idea.
But yeah, so Luke has done that. So now and he's had because he charges to post properties on his site, and then he also whatever. Anyway,
here's what I think Joe's saying.
But for terms things, he's talking for terms.
Here's what I think Joe's saying.
Yeah.
Hey seller, I want to buy your property for $10,000. But I don't have $10,000, so I'm going to pay you $100 a month until it's paid off. Okay. And the seller says, okay. So I write a $100 check, and there's a contract, and I'm essentially buying the seller's providing seller financing. And so I go and sell the property for $10,000, and I pay the $1,000 off to the seller, and I keep $9,000 for myself, and I'm done.
I thought the question was, can you scroll back up for me,
sure.
please? I thought the question was doing financing. So scroll down a little
Joe says, I think there are a fair amount of sellers out there who would gladly sell their property for a low price or just give the property to you for the promise for future cash flow.
Like they want to do payment. They want you to set up the payments for them and do it for them.
I think, or they want you to make payments and say.
Either way, they don't care. I'm sure someone's going to make the payments on it.
Okay.
And then do it on a terms thing. So I wouldn't do that personally. I wouldn't do a
terms.
This
is one of the worst ideas I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's sneaky. It reeks of potential representation without a license.
Yeah, because if you're doing...
There's financial implications. It's one thing if you do it with a piece of property you own. All right, then it's a whole different ballgame. You know, we've talked about this recently. What he's doing is representing a seller in the representing a property owner in the purchase and sale of his property.
Yeah.
A, that's a huge, massive problem legally. B, he's... incorporating all kinds of financial instrument situations. So not only now is it an ADR, it's a DRE, Department of Real Estate issue, It's now like an SEC financial
issue. That's what I was wondering. So, you're taking a $250 a month payment to give this guy a $200 payment, whatever it is, because you're servicing the loan and doing all of that. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do all that.
Here's what's going on. There's one or two things going on here. Number one, this person has one of those sneaky personality types.
Oh.
Where they think that there's a snake oil salesman and that they think they have to cheat to win. I doubt that's the case.
I didn't know that.
Or number two, they have it in their head, this person has it in their head that they need to have the money to do complete real estate deals. And you don't. Mm. You don't need to have your own money to complete a real estate deal at all. In fact, what you should do, Joe, in this deal is sign a contract with this person to purchase their property for less than it's worth. And go out onto landinvestors.com and find a partner, buy the property, control the asset, you own it, and resell it.
Ding, ding.
And not veer from that model until you're way into your 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 deals under your belt. Then you can get a little creative.
How nutty and confusing could this possibly be? That's pretty confusing, by the way.
Seriously, setting
yourself really
up for some problems.
Yeah, and babysit the transaction and babysit the seller and all the things that could go, there's a lot of things that could go wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm not into it. Thank you.
Today's topic, which Jill seems to be quite excited about, and which I seem to have no knowledge of. MLS land listings, the pros and cons. This is the meat of the show.
Okay. Here are the pros. Listing land on the MLS is awesome. There's not a lot out there, and there's especially not a lot priced the way we do it. The only time I see people that care enough to post property in the MLS is they're making up their own retail number. I don't even know where they're coming from. And usually I think it's because there's a real estate agent involved, and they're only going to get involved if it's a piece of property that's priced so high so their commission makes sense.
Right.
And I almost think that they don't know how to price land. A lot of people don't know how to price land. We do. That's why you're here. And you do know how to price land and buy land. But a lot of people don't know how to price rural vacant land. So I don't know how they come up with their numbers. Do they, you know, they look at a house and, you know, take a percentage off of that or something? I don't know.
There's no thought that goes into it.
Okay, thank you. They just say, hey, I think it's worth $100,000. Yep, yeah, let's do that.
That's what happens.
Yeah, because you know what? Then my commission makes sense. Okay, we're going with $100,000.
Yeah, it's commission.
That's what we decided.
Every real estate agent knows how to multiply 0.06 to any number.
That's true. So, yes. So, I think that posting the pros are those reasons. There's not a lot out there, like I said. You know how to take pictures and make it look good. Everything I see on the MLS too, they don't really make it count. So I'm saying if you're gonna post your land on the MLS, you know, make it count. You know you priced it right. And it's awesome.
Exactly.
The cons of posting on the MLS are, number one, you're gonna confuse people because your price is so low. They might not get it. They're gonna be like, you know, whatever. But I don't price it. I don't use the MLS for anything below, let's just say, at least probably $10,000 or $15,000, because it doesn't really make sense. Usually it's are the larger dollar amounts and also bigger properties. Maybe it's a 40-acre property or an awesome infill lot, something that's worth $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 what I'm selling it for, because I'm selling for, say, $20,000 because it's worth $50,000. That kind of a thing. That makes so much sense on the MLS.
There's a lot of power to be the cheapest person in the MLS.
It's
which ends up happening.
Yeah. It also runs like usually the cheapest you're going to find out there, what we found is $300 to post it. So you want to budget
that. The cost to actually post a fixed price listing.
Right. And there are multiple companies out there that you can Google and find. You don't have to be a realtor. You don't have to be associated with them. You can just pay them a flat fee and go through that realtor or that broker, and they'll post it for you. And you could even say, look, I'm either paying commission or I'm not paying commission. They're using, it's a flat fee, and that's how they're getting paid, and they're good with that. It's wonderful. The other thing is, you know, the little dollar amounts, often these are bigger transactions and they don't sometimes close as quickly. So because of that reason, on the little properties, I wouldn't put on the MLS. I'm just kind of quickly going through those. But some of my bigger ones, I'm kind of counting on, you know, the right buyer coming along. It's another way to reach the right buyer. Maybe it's, I don't know, it's in a great area, close to some substantial growth, and it might be a bigger builder that might be stumbling across it or who's looking for it, and they will look on the MLS.
Everybody sees data differently. More and more, there's more and more data about real estate that's available now. It's amazing what's available on any given piece of property. So if you go to a place like Realtor.com, which is a compilation or a collection of all of the MLSs, there's 300 or 400 MLS, separate MLSs all over the country that feed right into that thing. So if you have a piece of property, MapView is the most important, or is the most popular right now. So if you have a piece of property that every you can pull up a map and you can see 10 or 15 other pieces of property speckled out, and you're the, by leaps and bounds, the cheapest one, you're going to win. Mm-hmm. That's how you really win on the MLS. I think there are price buyers on the MLS for land. They're not like users.
They go, let's see what $10,000 will get me, kind of thing?
I think that if you had an infill lot in some urban area, and if you're half the price of everybody else that's I think that someone's going to see that and just buy it.
Yeah.
You know, the vast majority of the people that buy our real estate and users like that are just people that they don't have any questions. They're like, yeah, let's buy it.
Right.
I'm going to buy it. Tell me what to do.
Yeah. What's funny is I just was kind of saying out, you know, plan on it taking a little time. It's the MLS slash however. Every time we have used the MLS, it does go fast. And I think it's because of those reasons. People come along and you know what? We've done it right. We have good photos. It's well described, a good description. It's priced obviously well. You know, that everything's right there. So people go, wow, it's easy. What I think about the MLS is, once you know how to do this and post property and make it look good, it's easy to compete with everybody else because they're all doing it wrong.
Exactly, Joe.
So that's, I think, why ours go so quickly, too. Yeah, it's like, wow, well, look at this one. Here's the map. Here's the roads. Here's all the tax information. Here's how to pay for it. You know, everything's done and spelled out. So
can you imagine if you went on Amazon to buy some stuff, you had to go through like 6 steps to buy it? For one guy, he's selling stuff, and then there's another person that's selling some stuff, and it's sort of like that, and they're priced about the same. But with one person, you only have one picture, and you have to. It takes 6 steps to close it. Or the other person, maybe it's a little bit more expensive, slightly more expensive, but you just click, 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 and it shows up at your door.
Mm-hmm.
It's just common sense. Real estate, for whatever reason, hasn't gotten there yet, but it will within our lifetime. It will be a point and click and purchase and done.
Mm-hmm. We're working on it.
Yep.
We're doing it.
We are.
We're doing it. It's going to get more. We're going to do more.
The MLS is good.
Yep.
Paying real estate agents is bad. And so people think that it's the same thing. They think that if I'm involved in the MLS, then I must have to have a real estate agent. I must have to pay a real estate agent on the other side. And none of that's true. These fixed price listings, you pay the person $300, $400 that's a licensed real estate agent. All the rules, dot the I's, cross the T's. You send them $300 or $400. You send them all the information. You log in. You post it just like you would post it on Trulia. A little bit more complicated than that, but the same concept. And it's out there for all to see. And you announce the fact that you only take cash, there's no financing, and you're not going to pay any real estate agents. So, I thought that's the real estate agent playground. No, because it's going to show up on Realtor.com where the whole public can see it anyway. And they're going to contact the listing agent, which you just paid $300 or $400 to list it, and that they're going to immediately, and sometimes in an automatic, IT automatic way, get the message right to you. They don't want to talk to that person. They're not going to make anything on it.
Yep.
So you contact the person back and you do the deal.
Exactly.
And if you can send them a link where they can check out, like we do, with the credit cards, it's done. Or down payment at least, so you can go to escrow. That's how you do this.
Exactly.
MLS is your friend now.
Totally.
But like Jill said, not for every property, but for a lot of properties. Mm-hmm. Plus you start building a good A-list too.
It's very true.
Find out.
Lots of good things.
Yeah. Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time where we discuss successful people create and implement goals.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
trying to think what else in our business that we that I don't know about or you don't know about. I'm sure there's many things that go on. Like, yeah.
You know what I don't know about at all anymore is marketing.
Oh.
We have a whole marketing department. I don't know what they do, and stuff just seems to sell.
And sales.
Yeah.
We have all kinds of great promos
never knew about that.
Planned, lined up, coming up, lots of good things coming up.
I know about doing this show.
I'll tell you one right now.
I know exactly what's going on in the acquisition situation.
There's a big Black Friday promo coming, by the way. It's going to be good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Please be sure and hit the subscribe button to stay up to date on our podcast. Like us and comment on what you'd like to see in future shows. And if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.